How about another one? Go ahead. Number 40. All right, this is a favorite. Jesus loves me,
this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me.
Before we go any further, let's close our eyes and ask for the Lord's help. Lord Jesus, we come this morning and we're so thankful for the privilege that we have to have all the children come up to the front and sing these songs and in a few minutes to say some memory verses and to have a little lesson from Thy Word for us. And just thank Thee so much, Lord Jesus, for Thy love to us that we've been singing of. That love which would take Thee all the way to the cross to die for our sins, to suffer there. So we just pray for help, that there would be a little lesson this morning that could be a help and an encouragement to these little children. So we just pray this and we give thanks in the worthy and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, how about one more and then we'll see if anyone wants to say a memory verse. Go ahead. 44.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he. Nobody ever has told.
Okay, so those are some very nice songs, and now there's a verse on the messages of God's love that BTP prints, and I know some of you have probably memorized it. So would anyone like to say a verse that they have memorized? I'll tell you the one on the paper. It is 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But if you have another one you've memorized, you can say that one as well. So do I have anyone that would like to say a verse? We have some down here. Okay.
I learned verse 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15.
Very good. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Go ahead.
Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15.
Very good. It's always good to have someone to help you. All right. Down here.
Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15.
Very good. Okay. Any other volunteers for the verse? Okay, Quincy.
Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15.
Very good. Anyone else? Go ahead.
1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15.
Okay.
1 Timothy 1:15. Christ came to the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, right over here.
1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
That's okay. 1 Timothy 1:15, not everyone says the reference twice, that's all right.
1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15.
Okay.
1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15.
Okay, very good. All right, Tom?
Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15.
Very good. Okay, anyone else? Oh, we've got some down here. Great.
1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15.
Very good.
1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, very good. So this verse is a very beautiful verse because it gives us the gospel in a nutshell. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So every single one of us that's here in this room is a sinner because we've all sinned. And so the Lord Jesus came from, where did he come from? Does anyone know? He came into the world, but where did he come from? Do you know? That's right. He came from heaven. And he came into this world, and what did he have to become so that he could come into this world? Does anyone know? It happened 2,000 years ago, approximately. What did he have to become? A man. Very good. So he came into this world and he became a man. Does anybody know why he had to become a man? Or at least one of the reasons why he had to become a man?
To save sinners.
Very good. To save sinners. You know, it tells us in Luke that angels cannot die. So he couldn't become an angel because in order to save sinners, he had to die. He had to give his life. So he had to become a man. And so the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, became a man, and he came into this world, and he laid down his life as a sacrifice for sin. so that sinners could be saved. Very simple. And so, what do we need to do in order to be saved? Can anyone tell me? It's very simple.
We want to say that again? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Very good. Very simple. We just need to believe on Him. Okay. So I have a lesson this morning for you, children. And today's Sunday school lesson is going to be on the subject of attraction. Okay? So for all the parents out there, I'm going to keep this age appropriate. We're going to talk about spiritual attraction. Okay? And so what is attraction? That's maybe a little bit of a big word for some of you. Does anyone know what it is? If two things are attracted, what does that mean?
They come together.
Very good. Okay. So I have an example that I'll show you for attraction. Okay. Who would like to help me out? How about right here? Can you hold on to this for me? You better hold on tight. Okay. So if you hold it, I'm gonna bring my piece towards yours, okay? Tell me if you feel something. Wow. Want to try again? Better make sure your fingers aren't in the way. Wow. You feel that? So they pulled together. They're attracted. Okay, thank you. So, attraction is when something is drawn by a force to another object, okay? And I've been reading, my personal reading, in the Gospel of John. And there's a theme that runs, as appears to be, all the way through the Gospel of John, having to do with attraction. And the person that we are attracted to, can anyone guess who that is? Go ahead. That's right, the Lord Jesus. He is the one that we are attracted to. So I want to just read a couple verses to show you that. And first of all, just read a verse in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." So this verse tells us that God the Father is drawing those who are going to be believers to the Lord Jesus. So just like this magnet is drawing this other magnet together with a force, in that same way, God the Father is drawing each one of you children who's put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus to Him. And you know what? That's a wonderful thing. And I just want to read this verse to start out, because we have to realize that the only way that we can be saved is through Christ Jesus who came into the world. And that's who God the Father is drawing us to. He's drawing you, each one of you, to the Lord Jesus to be saved. You know, and all the way through the Gospel of John, I'm not going to take a lot of time on this, but we find that Jesus, when He came into the world, something new came into the world. Before the Lord Jesus was here in this world, those who were, you might call them believers, they believed at least in the Word of God, parts of the Word of God, there was nothing in their hearts, there was nothing for them to be attracted to. They had the Old Testament, right, which is about two-thirds of our Bible. They had the Old Testament to tell them what God wanted them to do. But there was nothing that was drawing them. And when the Lord Jesus came into this world, a great change happened. And for the first time, there was a person in this world that the hearts of all those who have been touched by God's grace are being attracted to this one person. And it's a beautiful thing if you want to study it. But I'll just give you an example. And I won't read it, but in the first chapter of John's Gospel, does anyone remember the man who was sent from God before Jesus was born, before Jesus went public with his ministry. Does anyone remember that man's name? Go ahead.
John the Baptist.
Okay. So John the Baptist was standing there one day, and he had two disciples next to him, and he saw Jesus. And he said, does anyone remember what he said? Anybody? It starts with behold. He said, behold the Lamb of God. So John was looking at Jesus, and he knew that this man who was he was looking at was the man that was going to be the sacrifice, God's sacrificial lamb, so that he could take away the sin of the whole world. And John saw that, and he said almost to himself, behold the Lamb of God. And these two disciples that were standing next to him, they just left John. They'd been with John, who knows how long, I don't know. But they left him and they went and they followed Jesus. And I think that's a beautiful example of how the Lord Jesus was just like that magnet. And he came into this world and he just started drawing people to follow him, drawing people after him. In John 3, we have a man named Nicodemus. He came to Jesus, was it nighttime or was it daytime? Does anyone remember? Anyone? Go ahead. Nighttime, that's right. He came to Jesus at night because he was afraid. He didn't want people to know he was coming, but he came anyways. So the Lord Jesus was drawing people to him all the way through when he was here in this world. And there's another time in John 3. I'll just read it. You don't have to turn there, but the disciples of John came to John and they had a question. Because they saw Jesus, and his disciples were baptizing, and he was getting more and more followers, more and more disciples were following Jesus. And the disciples of John said, what's going on here? Why are so many people following the Lord Jesus? And so they said to him, I just wanted to read this verse. Rabbi or teacher, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. So you see how the disciples of John knew that there was something with this man, the Lord Jesus, and just everybody was being attracted to him. And isn't that wonderful? Well, I want to turn now to John chapter 10 and read a verse or two here. And then I have a little illustration I want to use. John chapter 10. And I guess I'll read verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. So who is speaking in this verse? Who is the good shepherd? That's right, the Lord Jesus. He's the shepherd, and he has sheep. And he knows them, and they know him. And then down in verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one, it should be translated flock, and one shepherd. Okay, so now I have some questions for you. Does anybody know what a fold is, what a sheepfold is? Go ahead. It's not exactly a bunch of sheep, but a bunch of sheep go into this thing. What is a fold? Does anybody know? It's like a pen, exactly. So I have a sheep fold here that I made last night, and I will show it to you. It's like a pen. Probably the walls will be made out of stone, but it took me a lot less time to draw a fence than stone walls, so. So you can see a fence all the way around, right? And the sheep are in this fold. And so the Lord Jesus says that there is a fold. Does anybody know what this fold is that the Lord Jesus is talking about? Does anybody know what it is? I'll give you a hint. These wires here that are making up this fence, they have to keep the sheep in. Sometimes the sheep want to go and they want to do what they want to do. But these wires, they have little sharp pointy pieces that stick out, and if the sheep goes too close, ouch, the sheep will hit it and they'll come back in. Does anybody know what those wires are? What the fence is? Go ahead. That's right. That's where the sheep live. And the fence is, what is the job of the fence? What does the fence do? Very good. It keeps them in. And so, this fence, I'm going to tell you, children, what it is. It's the Old Testament scriptures. It's the law. So before the Lord Jesus came, what His people had was a law. And the law said, do this and don't do that. And this law was like this fence, and it was keeping them in. Okay? And do you think that sheep always like to do what they're told? No. Can anyone think of a verse that tells us that? It starts with all. Anybody think of a verse? It's in Isaiah 53. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And sheep just want to go wherever they want to go. And so, I want to show you that here. And so I have some things that we want to show you. And what I have here is some steel balls. Okay? And these are kind of like sheep. Alright? And I'm going to pour these into the fold, and we're going to see what happens. Do any of you children want to come up so you can see? Go ahead. I really hope this works. Okay. Alright. I'll start pouring them. Oops. I think I'm going to take this off. Okay, it's going to come out slow. What are they doing? Where are they going? Going towards the fence, yeah. They're all going towards the fence. Why aren't they staying in the middle? Anyone know? That's right. They want to do what they want. Exactly. Finally, I got this off. Oops, you lost a few. All right. That's a lot of sheep, and they're all going away from the middle. They're getting as far away as they can from the middle, okay? So now, everyone stay right here. Okay, try not to touch, okay? I have something else here. I need a volunteer. Hold on. I have two jobs. One is going to be hard. One's going to be very easy. Who wants to do the hard job? You have to be really quick. Okay, how about you? Okay, first of all, what are these? The Ten Commandments, right. These are tables of wood, but the real ones were made out of stone. I would like somebody to use these tables, these Ten Commandments, try to get all these sheep to come back to the middle. Okay? Can you go ahead and do that? All right. Let's see it. He says he knows how to do it. How's it going? Not that good. Okay. Yeah. So what happened when we tried to bring them to the middle? They just kept rolling back to the fence. And that's what it is like when we try to when we try to use these Ten Commandments to try to make us do what God wants us to do. Because these Ten Commandments tell us what God wants to do, but sheep just want to do what they want to do anyways. So can anyone think of a way to get these sheep to come into the middle? A magnet. Good job. Okay, so who would like to try that method? How about this boy over here? Okay, you can go ahead and take that magnet and we'll see if you can... Yeah, you can leave it together as one if you would like. If you keep them together, you might be able to get them all on one. And now, are they rolling back to the fence now?
No.
Nope. Why aren't they rolling back to the fence? Very good. Good job. You got them all to the middle. Very nice. Okay, so we can all go and sit back down now in our seats. So the Lord Jesus said that there was going to be not one fold, but one flock. And what's the difference between a flock and a fold? Go ahead. Wow, very good. Very good. So she said it better than I could say it. Okay? So the Lord Jesus, when He came into this world, He became the Good Shepherd. And so all the sheep now hear His voice and they follow Him, just like all those steel balls rolled to the center and were attracted to that magnet. Because they heard His voice, because He was the Good Shepherd who laid down His life for the sheep. And so this is the very simple lesson that I want to impress on you. And I realize this is not the simplest lesson, but you know, when we come home from this conference, right? And we go back home and it's Monday, and we get home and we wake up, let's say, with a headache or something like that. We wake up with a bad attitude, and we want to do something that's not right. We want to say something that's mean, or we want to disobey our parents. We don't want to do our chores they ask us to do. You know, we need to think about the Bible that God has given us, not as a list of rules. Because if we do that, it's going to be like the boy who tried to herd all the sheep with these. And that didn't work out, right? Instead, what we need to do is think about the Lord Jesus. And you can think about Him and remember what He did for you. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus did for you? He gave up everything. He suffered. He was nailed to that cross and He suffered for your sins. And He laid His life down for you. And if you think about Him and appreciate what He did for you, then you know what you're going to find? That you're going to want to do the things He tells you to do. You're going to want to do it. Just like those sheep went right to the magnet. Because they were attracted to the magnet. Okay? So that is the simple lesson that I wanted to present. Now, before we close, after this meeting, there's going to be another meeting. Does anyone know what that meeting is called? Go ahead. What is it? Yeah, there's two meetings, but what's the second one called? Right before lunch. Go ahead. It's not the gospel meeting. Breaking of bread. Very good. And we come to the breaking of bread meeting because we are coming to remember the Lord Jesus. Okay? And I just want to read another verse before I close. In John 12 and verse 32. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, and He said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto Me." And so the Lord Jesus, as the one who was lifted up on the cross, lifted up in death, is become the gathering center. And He is gathering everyone, all who believe on Him, to think about Him and to remember Him. And I realize this verse is not exactly talking about the breaking of bread, but I'm just making that application that we come to remember the Lord Jesus because we love Him, because our hearts, like that magnet, are attracted to Him. And so we come, and there are many here that will be breaking bread in the next meeting. And do you think that they're coming because they feel like they have to come, or because they want to come? Maybe we should ask some of them. What do you think? Should we ask Mr. Ruga? You think we should ask Mr. Ruga? Is he coming because he has to come or because he wants to come? What do you think? Let's ask him. He wants to come. How about Mr. Highland? Yep. And I think we could ask everyone here, and they would agree that we come because we want to come, because we're attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so with that, we can close in prayer. Our loving God and our Father, we just thank Thee for the privilege this morning to have Thy Word open, to read these few simple verses and to be reminded that our hearts are attracted to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We just pray for each of these children that, first of all, that they might come to Christ to be saved, to know Him as the Savior of sinners, and then to seek Him and follow after Him and stay close to His side all the days of their life. So we just pray this for each one of us. We thank Thee too for the privilege of remembering Him and His death, of having Him before us, His person and His work. And may we always appreciate and enjoy that wonderful privilege. So we just pray these things in the worthy and precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.